Well, Merry Christmas, y'all. It is so nice to see your smiling faces tonight. And as Kate said, when we all gathered in here together, it is so wonderful as well to see your extended families with you, those of you who I recognize. And whether you've been here many Sundays in the past, or if it's your first time walking through these doors, you are welcome here. And we hope and pray that you find something in this worship service that speaks to your heart and helps you to embrace the faith of Christmas, the truth of God's amazing love as it comes to us on Christmas Day. Our New Testament lesson to accompany our lesson from Isaiah, which Lee just read, is the gospel story from Luke. In the Bible, there are two versions of the birth of Jesus. One's in Luke and the second one's in Matthew. And this year we'll be reading Luke's version. It's in chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. So listen to the story of the birth of Jesus according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds then said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. These words from Isaiah chapter 9, as well as from Luke chapter 2, are for us on this Christmas Eve by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now, O Lord, may you bless us this night in our worship by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. O Lord, in the prayers that we pray, and the songs that we sing, and the words that we share through scripture and preaching, may they all, O Lord, add to our faith, that we might indeed know the love that has no beginning and no ending, the love of Christ the Lord, whose birth we celebrate this night. Amen. So, old friends and new friends, I see a lot of familiar faces tonight. I see a lot of new faces tonight as well. You are welcome to this time of worship on Christmas Eve 2024. And like I said in my opening prayer a moment ago, tonight is the perfect night to sing loudly, to pray boldly, and to believe in the wonder and power of God to make all things new. You still have a couple more opportunities to sing loudly. So let's go for it, right? Glory to God in the highest heavens, right? The angels were shouting and woke the shepherds up. Let's see if we can wake some shepherds up tonight, right? Christas is a perfect time. Maybe it's the most perfect time to leave your doubts at the door and simply walk in and trust that God will shine light into whatever darkness chases you, and that somehow the love of God is going to prevail. From ancient times, people have believed that God's love comes into the world in an incarnate, enfleshed, real way at Christmas time, comes into the world through the birth and grace of Jesus Christ. And so when we say Merry Christmas, Or as our other folks say, Happy Christmas. It means that we do not believe that we are all alone in a cold and indifferent universe. But rather, we believe that Jesus is Emmanuel, that is God with us. And so the Christmas story is really the story of the birth of the Christ child, the one that God sends to be among us, to become just like us, to be also for us, and to be with us. And friends, that's good news. That is really good news. We are not alone spinning on a lifeless rock in the middle of space. It is really good news, and it should make our hearts glad and our souls rejoice. And so, friends, like I said, whether you have been here a lifetime or your grandmother made you come to church tonight, and you know who you are, you do. Like I said, whether it's your first time or you've been here a lifetime, this moment is for us to think about what that means. The last 4 weeks, we have been talking about the themes of the Advent Sundays. You can see them on the wall here behind me. Hope and peace and joy and love. And we've tried to make them as clear as possible so that we wouldn't be confused when we found these things in our lives. So when they showed up, we could celebrate them and we could share them with reckless abandon with friends and family near and far. These are things that enrich every single human life, and they are the things that our hearts and souls long for the most. And when we get too far away from any of them, that's when we start to feel uneasy and we can feel that spiritual friction. We really can. These things are blessings. And what we want to say is that we should never be confused by these. We've tried to let the gifts these last 4 weeks be seen in the scriptures and through the best of what a church has to offer. And when we talk about these four things, when we talk about Christmas, there's no hidden agenda. You know, you don't need a password to get it. Like, you spend all day long with passwords. You spend all day long, like the comedian said, trying to convince a robot that you're not a robot. They don't have to do that here. You just have to be willing to accept the love of Christ. There's no decoder ring. You just have to smile when we talk about the baby being born. Tonight is the end of the journey of Advent, the beginning of the journey of Christmas. And we should be excited, like I said, like those shepherds who go running to the manger. I mean, it says in Luke, meanwhile, the shepherds who were living in the fields, watching their flocks by night, where were these guys living? They were living in the fields. They had no place to go. I mean, leaving their flocks, that's the end of their livelihood. And yet they get so excited, so overwhelmed by what the angels say, that they just leave it all and head off to Bethlehem. And so from the actions of the shepherds to the words of the angels to humankind, that there is good news, a Christ the Lord has been born this day in the city of David. And then finally to the arrival of the child, which had been foretold by prophets from long ago. Everything that we need to know about Christmas is in plain sight. God's promises, the Holy Family, the baby who is the Savior, the light of the world, shining upon any and all who want to claim it. So since nothing is hidden, there is a question that has to be asked. And it's the one I find myself asking every single Christmas as well. I mean, will we waste it? Will we waste these four things that God has given us? Will we waste the light of Christ and the love of God in the birth of the baby? Will we waste it? Will we give in to the great challenges of history which threaten to feel our safe and trust? Will we focus more upon the negative headlines of division or the reports from the wars that rage around the world or the suffering that sometimes finds us even when we don't want it to find us? Will we focus on those things more than we allow the love of God to transform how we see the wonder of God in Jesus the Christ? Do we allow the things that are so negative in our lives, the darknesses, if you will, stop us from seeing the world as Christ views the world and invites us to view it? The kind of place where your enemies can be your neighbors, where your foes can become your friends, or even though you mourn the loss of those who have died that you love, you may also find rejoicing in the fact that they are fully and wholly and completely with God. That's the question each and every Christmas. Will you let the joy change the way you see things around you? Earlier this week, I went to some of our staff members. We were talking in the hallway, and I said, does anybody have like a new Christmas song or a really cute Christmas video or something this year? And one of them had it. And I didn't have a lot of time, but she said, it's only 90 seconds long. So I said, I can do 90 seconds. This video is wonderful. It's of a little boy. I think he's 6, maybe 5. He's in a car, and he's quite obviously English, because his mother strapped him into the car. He's in the car seat there in England. And the little boy says, hey, mum, or hey, mom, guess which part I got in the nativity play? It's epic. So nativity play, we don't use that term. Our cousins do across the pond. We say Christmas pageant, okay? Hey, mom, what? Guess which part I got in the nativity play? It's epic. So mom starts guessing. Are you Joseph? No. Are you one of the wise men? No. Are you the innkeeper? No. Are you one of the angels? No. She goes, well, I don't know what to guess. He goes, keep guessing. It's epic. So finally, mom says, I give up. What part are you? And the kid goes, mom, I'm doorkeeper number 3. Y'all know doorkeeper number 3. Like, he's in the Christmas cards at the shops, right? And he's in your nativity sets at our house. We have about 30, I think. We've collected them on our travels throughout our marriage. And we've got door. He's in every single one, right? No, mom, I'm doorkeeper number 3. Yes, good old doorkeeper number 3. Well, what will you do? She asks him. And he says, I get to hold the door for Joseph and Mary, and I'll say, get in there. And he pumped his arm like that. And the look on the little guy's face is just remarkable. He's practically about to explode over a bit part in a children's play at his school. And in 90 seconds, it teaches us a spot-on perfect lesson about Christmas and God's invitation to us. You see, the kid doesn't care what part he gets to play in the Christmas story. He's just happy that he got invited to play a part at all. And that's how we should be too. Because you see this, after these thousands of years later, every one of us in here is doorkeeper number 3. We are the ones who open the door and hold it and say to the Holy Family, come into our hearts. We open the door and we welcome others to come and see the advent of God and the birth of love and grace itself. We are like a doorman waiting in the wings, cracking the doors so other people can peek inside and see the majesty of God's love. Because behind all the lights and the tinsel, under all the songs and the Christmas legends, all around all the trees and the nativity scenes and the creches and the presents that you have wrapped perfectly and with care. Yes, underneath all of that, supporting it all, we have this story of Joseph and Mary and the angels and the shepherds and its eternal and its cosmic significance. And we sing our songs and we light our candles, because just for a moment, one or two days a year, we get to open the door and we get to peer in and remember it all again. As Christian people, we believe that all of human history really hinges upon two events. One is Easter, which is God's triumph over death. And the other is Christmas, which is, if you will, not only God's embracing of human life, but it's God's triumphing over human life, as God becomes one of us in order to bless us and call us to live lives in service and celebration of all that we have been given. And so whether you are the Joseph or the Mary, or the wise men or the angels or the shepherds, or doorkeeper number 3, it is truly epic. Christmas, you see, means that God knows us and loves us during all of our days and intends for us to know hope and peace and joy and love until the last breath we draw on this planet. And sometimes, a little bit like old Ebenezer Scrooge, once we have Christmas in our hearts and our lives, and we dare to understand the true beauty of it and what it actually means, we will discover, like him, that our work has only just begun. And one of the great American theologians and pastors that ever lived was a man named Howard Thurman. And unlike a lot of theologians who write really complicated things that are hard to understand, Thurman spent a lot of time writing about Christmas. And he not only did it with prose, he also wrote poems about it. And one of his most famous poems says this: when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes have gone home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to feed the hungry, to heal the broken, to release the prisoners, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among all peoples, and to make music in our hearts. Yeah, that is, if you will, the work of Christmas. Maybe on a smaller level, no matter of your part, no matter your part, there's work to do. You might be the person in your family who keeps Christ in Christmas. You might be the one. You might be the one. You might be the gift wrapper in your house. I am not the gift wrapper in my house. I was fired several years ago, and that's okay. That's okay. You might be the family meal organizer who provides all the family favorites and does most of the cooking. And the way that food works, the minute I said that, y'all all thought of something that you like and you hope is there when you get home later tonight. I mean, you might be the one who is always called upon to say the prayer before Christmas dinner or Christmas breakfast. That might be your role too. You might be the one who dragged everyone to church tonight and fought your way through the parking lot, but you're glad you got here. And it's important. You might be the long worried about or long missing relative home for Christmas for the first time in years. And you're all praying that it goes well because you really miss each other. You might be the keeper of the family traditions, the one who always makes sure that we do things in the right order, at the right time, in the right way, and for the right reasons. You might be the comic relief in your family. You might be. Or maybe you're like that kid. You're just doorkeeper number three. And you're letting folks in and out and hopefully shedding a little joy in the process. But no matter, do the job of Christmas for the sake of Christmas. Because each of us can bring peace among people and make music in the heart. We can do that only if we offer it to one another and take the risk of some vulnerable actions and some loving words. The angels have called us to do nothing less. There is good news of great joy for all people, they say to the shepherds. And having been invited to do nothing less, our spirits and our souls can go running towards the manger to discover that Lord of Lords, that Prince of Peace, that wonderful Counselor, everlasting God that Isaiah talked about. Yes, tonight he's a babe in swaddling clothes. He's with his mother and father in the story of his life. Later, he will preach great sermons, and history will record that he changed nations and he changed the world. But for now, let the joy of his arrival bless our lives in order that all of our days might be blessed in turn. So friends, like I said, new and old, no matter who you are tonight or where you are, take a moment to be happy, to find a moment of joy this Christmas. Let Joseph and Mary and the newborn baby into your heart. Like I said, hold that door open for grace and love and joy and hope. Let them define you for at least this day and maybe for the days and weeks to come. And when you do that, you get to play a part in the kingdom of God. And that is worth rejoicing. And that is worth gladness. For Christmas has come to shed light and life into every corner of our lives. Receive the gift. Most important one you'll be given this Christmas. Merry Christmas, friends. Merry Christmas. God bless you all and all whom you love. Amen.